Letter of Paul to the Corinthians. One Corinthians, chapter 1. And from this chapter, as time will allow, I want to go on into the rest of the epistle. And may the Lord teach us of his own spirit as we do this together. In this first chapter, then, we're very familiar, I'm quite sure, with this great truth. And here is God speaking, or Paul speaking, in God's name. I thank my God always on your behalf, in verse 4, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may that blessed Spirit, then, teach us of this wonderful fact that's spoken to us in verse 4. The grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether you understand and have taken in and know what this great grace of God is that's given us by Jesus Christ. I suppose we could have a definition of it according to the best theological textbooks, and we could all tell one another what we're supposed to understand by it, and indeed many of us doubtless could go beyond what we are supposed to understand by it and can enter into some of the fullness of what it means. But alas, alas, too often we confine something down to one little point and make it one meaning. Whereas, beloved, I trust we shall see something of the length and breadth and depth and height of the immeasurable fullness and greatness of God given to us and is meant and intended by this word grace. For instance, what could be greater, beloved, than that last verse that we read, that God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what that means? To be called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? I mean, often we're so taken up with the fact that we're called, say, out of darkness into light, or we're called from death to life, or we're called from the world to this, and we get this idea, and no doubt at times, by the Spirit, we need to have this emphasis laid in our lives. You know, like the old hymn says, and you know, tell me the story gently if you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. You see? That if people see that we're getting after the empty glory of the world, the hymn writer is saying we need an emphasis laid, a call made, we need the glorious story told us again to meet this dreadful thing in us that we're getting all worldly or something of this nature, you see? And indeed it is a dreadful and deadly thing to have become just worldly in our concept and not heavenly as God wants us to be. For where would you be if the world passed away now, after which you had become patterned? You would have no pattern of life. You'd be lost, frustrated, if your world passed away. So we need an emphasis laid. Glory be to God. But may he, by his Spirit, teach us something of the comprehensive fullness that's in it as we look through this epistle in three or four other places. We're called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're called then by his grace to enjoy and have and experience something on a fellowship basis with Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing this is. Of course, it's the same sort of thing we find in the length and breadth of the New Testament and foreshadowed and promised in the Old. In this afternoon, for instance, we were reading in Romans chapter 8, and you will remember, though we didn't just read the verse, that we're called children, and because children we're heirs of God, and if heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus, you see. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing this is, beloved. Something of this fellowship of the Lord Jesus. For God to treat us as a fellow of Jesus Christ. Not just a disciple, notice. As a fellow. Not just as a follower. As a fellow. That speaks of equality. This is the grace of God. A father should treat us as an equal. You say an equal, well that's what the Bible says. Jesus is made to cry it in the Hebrews chapter 1 that he's been anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Amen. Above those that we could be counted as his equals among us all. Hallelujah. Isn't it a tremendous thing? Mind you, you never get here unless you have the same spirit in you that was in Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You can't get it by clutching for equality. He knew he was, so he didn't clutch at it. You see, when people are clutching for things, you know they haven't got it. If you're clutching for peace, I know you haven't got it. If you're clutching, reaching out for joy, I know you haven't got it. If you're clutching out for rest, I know you haven't got it. If you're clutching out for love, I know you haven't got it. Don't I? This is it, you see. It's all so simple. You don't reach out and grasp for what you have. You might reach out for more. Well, that's wonderful. But oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. The four living creatures in heaven. The Father and the Son. Paul, John, James. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The fellowship. Praise God. That beats the fellowship at Devonshire Road, doesn't it? It includes it, I hope. But it exceeds and excels it. Hallelujah. This wonderful fellowship. Amen. We've been called unto it, beloved. Called unto this. My beloved brothers and sisters, let the stupendous fact of this grasp your mind. Let it lay hold of you until you sit down in speechless wonder at his feet. Called unto the fellowship. Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful?
fellowship. I'm a fellow with Jesus.
This is where we started, I think, wasn't it? Well, at least we continued on Saturday night here, that when we were talking about that life, it's God the Father, God the Son, and us. Amen. That's the glorious Trinity, isn't it? God the Father, God the Son, and us. You would think it was Father, Son, and Spirit, you see. But the Spirit's in us. So it's God the Father and us. The Father, the Son, and us. That's the fellowship. This is the wonder as we walk in this great and lovely fellowship with God, and God has been allowed in us to bring all his hopes to perfection and work his wonderful works, beloved, and he's resting in his love and he's satisfied with the condition of heart he's brought us into, and he can be pleased to fellowship with us. Oh, it's all so wonderful. If it wasn't so true, it'd be a fantasy. But when it's so real, hallelujah, and you live in this, and the devil hasn't got a chance. He's waiting for an opportunity to break it if he can. But hallelujah, he could be kept on the outside, and we're in the fellowship. Oh, it's life. It's glory. It's all. We've got nothing left to strive for, except to keep reaching out after the prize of the high calling. Everything else but down, we've got nothing else to live for, beloved. We've been brought there. It's a matter of going on now, living in this, increasing in this, abounding in this. Why, hallelujah, all angels attending us. This is the life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is that to which we've been called. Fellowship. Amen. This astounding thing that God has conferred upon us in his grace. Amen. Are you living like that? You're living as a fellow with God, are you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you're living? Now, this fellowship is a very, very wonderful thing. And if you turn to the 10th chapter, you'll see how it works out. For in this glorious 10th chapter, this is what he says. Verse 14, he says, "My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And in the beginning of the chapter, this is what he says. "Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink." What a lot of fellows they were, weren't they? Now listen, ancient Israel were baptized under Moses. Now, spiritual Israel is baptized under Jesus. And not water baptism either, but in the great, great baptism in the Spirit, beloved. Oh God, we are baptized unto Jesus Christ. Baptized unto him. You can't get unto Jesus. You can't get into Jesus. You can't get into fellowship with Jesus unless you're baptized into it. You can't believe yourself into it. Oh, you have to believe, of course. You can't work yourself into it. You can't do anything. You're baptized into it. Glory be to the name of the Lord, for the one that calls and the one that baptizes us into this glorious fellowship. And in here, oh, you see, everybody's equal here. You will know they all ate, they all drank, they all were one in this blessed revelation and giving of God. You know how God is very clear about this when they all ate the same spiritual meat, the manna, you know? Nobody had more than anybody else. You realize that, don't you? Nobody did. We're very careful about this. If people went out and gathered twice as much as they could eat, God corrupted that those that had gathered too much never had any more than anybody that didn't gather enough. Have you ever read that? Yes. They were supposed to have an omer a day, and if only somebody only gathered 3/4 of an omer, they never had any less, and if anybody gathered an omer and a half, they just had an omer. That's how God worked it. It's spiritual equality. It's the way God does things. Isn't according to my working, isn't according to my obedience. It isn't according to my ability to fulfill. Though, praise God, I must obey, and I must seek to fulfill. But blessed be his name when God is moving in this great realm into which he brings us. He's the master of it all. And he sees that all have the same. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Glory. Now you ought to flee from idols. And we see this. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Now you judge what I have to say. You may judge what I have to say, or you may judge what Paul has to say. Come on, all you judges. I thought the Bible said you weren't to judge one another. Well, that means is putting on the black cap and condemning them. That's what it means. Putting on the sentence of sitting as a legal judge and dispatching people to prison or to stripes or to punishments or to limbo or to where you want. That's the judge you're not to be. But you are to be a judge like this. I'm speaking to wise men. Now you judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless. Ooh. Is he talking about the communion exactly? For we go from fellowship to communion. In this great life of fellowship, the cup of blessing, we would think the cup that God blesses, but that's not what Paul says. You're to judge what he's saying. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we're all partakers of that one bread. So we go from fellowship in this great revelation to communion. Communion. Now, beloved, there's no fellowship if there's no communion. And the bread which we break, that we did here this morning, and the wine that we drank together. Say, well, we did it in remembrance of him. No, don't go too fast. That's in the 11th chapter. Don't skip the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter is most important. The bread which we broke, it's our communion. Hallelujah. What did you impart to the communion this morning? You see, the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. It's the communion of the body. It's we who are communing one with another in the body. We've got to be communing in the body. You see, this is the great folly. Nearly everywhere you go, they come together to break bread on Sunday morning. They think exclusively of Jesus Christ. And they think it's marvelous. In the 11th chapter, it has its aspect. It's absolutely right. But why, oh why, you wise men, haven't you judged the truth of this 10th chapter? Judge what I say. It's the communion of the body. It's given to us to commune. Hallelujah. Can I commune with you, brother?
in that bread. I'm saying to you, I'm one body with you, brother. This is true fellowship. I'm saying I'm one with you, sister. I'm drinking your blood, and you're drinking mine. I bless this cup. We're one life. We're one body. We're one flesh. That's what we're saying. Did you say that this morning? If not, may God open your eyes. Who is that? I didn't come here to commune with you. Well, shame on you. You know, they stand and say, Lord, we've come here to see you, and all this. And John's always shouting it out at you, but people can't understand it. If you don't love me, you don't love God. That's what John's always shouting out. Shouting it out. Trumpeting it out. Written on the pages of the Bible. People can't see it. Oh, hallelujah. We bless the cup. I bless that cup. I put a blessing in that cup for you, brother. So, never seen that before. Well, did you bless me? Who handed me the cup this morning? My good brother Norman, I know he blesses the cup for me. He said, oh, isn't this getting a bit like Rome? No, it's... Rome didn't write this Bible. Rome's departed from it. No, this is... God wrote this. God wrote this. Listen, let's read it again. Let the truth sink into your heart, my brother, my sister. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless. Who blessed that cup this morning? Oh, say, we didn't want any euphorisms and I don't know whatever the cup. No, we didn't. Say, have we got to sort of appoint a fellow so that he should put his hand on the cup and say, oh, I bless this cup? No, we don't want any of that nonsense either. I tell you, some of the worldly poets have got more idea than this body of Jesus Christ. Who wrote that wonderful poetry? Was it Goethe? No, it wasn't Goethe. It's an English word, isn't it? Drink to me only with thine eyes, or leave a kiss within the cup, he wrote. So, well, what do you mean? You say, what? It's sentimental rubbish, that. Yes, probably it is. But the idea is right. Did you leave a kiss in the cup for me? I don't mean fleshy things, far be it from us. Let it be gone as far as the east from the west. This is communion. Sharing one common life, that's communion. I blessed it for thee, my brother, my sister, and if I can't take that cup and bless it in passing it to you, I am a scoundrel and ought not to be partaking of it. And the bread, which I broke, it's the communion of the body. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, amen. For we being many are one bread. We're all here to be eaten. When you eat a thing, you make it common with your life. Amen. Have you ever got there? Are you there? And this is why, beloved, earlier on in this same letter, you have Paul dealing with sin. Because I can't leave a blessing in the cup if I've got sin in my heart. I can't leave a blessing. I can't pass on a blessing, beloved. Brother, when you received the bread from me, you should have been eating me. And who wants to eat poison to their spirit? Sin. You mustn't handle that bread. You mustn't handle that cup, thy beloved brothers and sisters, unless you're in the common life of God. This is a fellowship. Sweet and pure and free from sin. Deadly working dealt with in us. No wonder, as he said in the 11th chapter, so many in that Corinthian church, because they'd got such wicked sin in their hearts, were sick and ill, coming to the Lord's table, eating their own sicknesses, drinking their own poison.
It isn't that I drink directly from him. I can't drink directly from him. I'm in a body and I drink from you as well. And I eat from you. That's what Paul says. Judge what he says. And in judging, judge yourselves. That's what he says in the 11th chapter. If we would judge ourselves, we shouldn't be condemned with the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We should pass on life and health and blessing and wholesomeness and holiness and the glory of our personal experience of Christ one to another. Amen. Eat me. I'm a bit off the loaf of God. That's right. Drink me. I'm part of his pure blood stream of life. That's right. You say, what a standard in a church. Hallelujah. God keep the standard high. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it all wonderful what the Lord brought us to? Now let's go on. For from fellowship to communion, we come into the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters and the great, great truth of edification comes. Fellowship, communion, edification. Now you know what edification is. It's to build up one another. And for this great cause, God has given into the church the gifts of the blessed Spirit of God for edification. That's what they're for. And when we come to this whole precious truth, you may like to look at this word edification and trace it right the way down through your whole truth. You'll find it in the 14th chapter, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. You got the word edification, edifying. You see? And so we come that the Lord wants to build us up, build us up. Build us up. Now, beloved, how do you expect to build me up? Now, I do need building up. You think I come here to build you up, you see. And how about poor me? Don't I need building up? We need building up. Now, beloved, substantially, if I'm going to build up, I need some good solid bread to eat. I need to be able to eat you. I need to be in communion with you. You can't edify me if you're not in communion with me. You can't edify me if you're not in fellowship with me. And I've got no ideas about, oh, they're in fellowship or they're out of fellowship according to the doctrines and ideas of men. That's not what I'm talking about. We are called under the fellowship of his Son, not under the fellowship of some fellowship or church or assembly. We are called under this great fellowship. The fellowship and communion of Jesus to me is that he gives me his blood and gives me his body. Well, give me your body. Give me your bread. Give me your blood. Let's be in communion. Let's be in life fellowship. Hallelujah. And then edify me. In this great communing. Oh, hallelujah. I want to commune with Jesus in thee, my brother. I want to commune with Jesus through thee, my sister. I want that. I don't want to be an isolated fellow put off on my own. Too often I get that. Too often. I'm sort of, oh, Mr. North, put him in the best room and all this, and he's put up there, and all this, you know, and you keep yourself from idols, little children. The tremendousness about it is that we
We're here to be edified.
I need you. We sang this afternoon, you know, that great hymn. The gift which he on one bestows, we all delight to prove. It's true. But the grace through every vessel flows in purest streams of love. This is the truth. It flows through every vessel. Amen. And we're here to build up one another, and that's the purpose of these precious gifts of the Spirit, my brother, my sister, for edification. And you've sat here dumb through these 2 days or 3 meetings or what you've been, and you've made no effort to edify anybody. You cheekily put the responsibility on me. That's right. The glory of God. We're here to build up one another. Now, I know that the chief substance of building up is love, as the 13th chapter has it. Amen. We're to build up one another in love. That's clearly written in the Ephesian letter. We're to increase the body by building up one another in love. That's what it says. But you see, God has given instruments for building. You know, it's all very well to have a lot of concrete that you're going to build a house on. But it's no good tipping the concrete down. You've got to have shovels and buckets and floats and trowels and boards that they put them on. You've got to have all the instruments for it. Amen. And God gives these glorious instruments. They're called the gifts of the Spirit, because this is a spiritual building up. You see? We've all got to be built up inside. Oh, built up and built up and built up and built up and built up. And there's no end to this upbuilding, beloved. Praise his name. When you come together, whether I'm here or not, you're to come together with this express purpose to love and to worship and to build up the body of God here. That's what you're to come for. You're to come for that reason. Our brother Jim here, he asked permission to talk. How many of you should have asked permission to talk? In fact, you needn't have asked permission. You could have stood up in your seat and said, I've got something I want to say. We would all say, glory. You see? That's what you come for. And I warn you that you'll just tie yourself up in chains and you'll succeed in tying everybody else up in bondage if you stick tight and say nothing and do nothing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's here, being well fed, and that we should minister in the great gifts. Edification, beloved. Oh, don't you want to see one another built up? Don't you want to see one another becoming stronger, and bigger, more robust, vigorous and healthy in mind and in spirit and in body too? Bless the name of the Lord. Now you ought to do it. Let all things be done unto edification. That's right. Nothing for other reasons, but all for this. Now, perhaps you will agree with me that this can't take place unless you know that you're baptized in the Spirit. Unless you're there and the Lord has given you these precious gifts
And I want to tell you that, so far as I know, you don't get any of them for struggling and straining and getting ever so worried. They only start to operate. All God wants is a willing spirit. He doesn't want anybody to sort of have a nervous breakdown wondering whether they got to do this, that or the other. All he wants, beloved, is a willing spirit. That's all I discovered, anyway. A real definite, not reaching for the moon, but a definite setting of the life in God. Lord, I am going to be what you want me to be. That's right. At all costs. At all costs. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. In this, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't get sort of all sort of heady or sentimental about it or droopy. But with a thoroughly healthy outlook, looking up to God all the time, that precious head, yielding and cooperating and letting yourself get lost in God. This is the great way. Letting your spirit go out to Him. Get your eye off yourself. So many people have got their eyes on themselves. That's the last thing to do. Why, somebody was talking to me about this little thing I got hanging around my neck. I've just thought of it now. I said, the only thing you can do with microphones is to forget them. If you're conscious of microphones, you're ever so tied up. But you see, you're not going to have your eye on microphones or on self or anything else. It's on Him. Many people who say they come to break bread with their eye on Jesus and make big sonorous sounding prayers about it, they've got their eyes on themselves. They're not in communion at all. They're not in communion with anybody else. They're trying desperately to cut themselves off from everybody else. They say, oh, this person's looking grim, this one. That one, I know they must have a devil. That one, oh, yeah, they're into depression. And, oh, I've got to keep myself up. Now, that's the absolute opposite. I let myself go round everybody, in everybody. You're employing the wrong tactics. You're not worth keeping. Give yourself away. If you arrive in heaven intact, or at heaven's gate, you'll not be accepted. Only destroyed people with the marks of the cross on them, are accepted there. That's all. Praise God, you've got to give yourself away. Make yourself common. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I'm a respectable sort of person. I'm sorry for you. Jesus wasn't respectable. Nobody respectable had hung naked on a cross. If he could have got out of it, and he could have got out of it, he could have come off the cross. But he refused to be respectable. He was thinking of you, somebody reminded us this afternoon. You, he wasn't thinking of himself. But somebody came to cry for him. He said, don't you cry for me. Don't you weep for me, you daughter of Jerusalem. I don't want you to weep for me. Don't you see this, beloved? This blessed release from self. This giving of yourself away for the edification of others. This carelessness. This, oh, I'm not this or I'm that. I'm absolutely sure that so many of you people are tied up. And it's just the old devil having you on. And you believe him. You believe him. You accept it. You get your eye on yourself. And, oh, I've got this. And, oh, this is happening. Now, listen to me, beloved. Everything that's happening to you that matters in anything happened at Calvary. That's where it all happened. Glory. God got you straightened out there. Amen. And if you won't associate yourself with that, you'll associate yourself with every darkness, trouble, self thing and idea there is in the world. You can't help it. You've got a nature that will pick it up. You're made like it. You're human, you see. You say, well, aren't you human? Well, I'm superhuman, what we're supposed to be. That's right.
What Christian is there, a true Christian, that isn't superhuman? I didn't mean strength. You don't go around calling yourself Samson or anything like that. No, superhuman. How can I impart myself to you, and is that superhuman? How can I give you my blood to drink spiritually if that's not superhuman? How can I impart a blessing to a cup that touches my lips if it's not superhuman? How can I be a fellow with Jesus Christ unless it's superhuman? But not our superhumanity, but his superhumanity. Isn't he the superhuman? This is the fellowship we're called to. And that's why, beloved, spiritual gifts are only made, are only given for one reason. Why do you think spiritual gifts are given? Eh? So that you can be given away. And all that you've got can be given out. So you've got a gift of tongues, what's it for? To be given out. You've got interpretation, what's it for? To be given out. Prophecy? Given out. Healing? Given out. That's all the gifts are for. Give out! And build up. Glory. Build up their gifts. You see, but so many people are completely ignorant about this. Oh, so, well, I'm not ignorant of spiritual gifts. I know there are 9 of them. I'm sorry, there are a lot more than 9. There are only 9 in this list. You mustn't think these are only the only 9 gifts of the Spirit. Any more than you must think there are only 9-fold fruit of the Spirit. A lot more than the 9 in Hebrew, in Galatians 5. That's the 9 that the Spirit chose to mention then. But here's the tremendous thing, beloved. You ought to give yourself away. And if I think you're worth anything, and that's about the only thing that counts, what God thinks of you and what your true spiritual brothers and sisters think of you. If you're worth anything to me, I'll receive you with gratitude. I love you, brother. Sister, I haven't always got time to bend a smile on the thousands of people I see, each one individually, but I love them. And you and I, beloved, are in this place to love. To give. To build you up. I know this, beloved. The Lord hath taught me this one thing, that by and large the concept of the gifts of the Spirit, beloved, abroad in the earth today is the wrong one. But the whole ministry in the realm of gift, beloved, is to be an impartation of the perfect love of God. That's right. That's what it's for. To be an impartation of this glorious love. Amen. You may be built up. Hallelujah. Built up. By revelation. Instruction. Exhortation. Teaching, anything, healing. Oh, what a glorious thing it is. And when the church bends itself to the will of God here and will allow the Lord to get their sight right, he'll have gift upon gift to them. When they see this right with God and understand what it's all about, get understanding, my brother, my sister. Be a man in understanding. Know what it's all about. Understand why they're here, these precious things. They're not just here to cast out this and cast out that and heal this and that. They're not here primarily for that.
that has to take place, beloved. They are here that every one, beloved, in this precious life of Jesus Christ may be built up and built up to become more excellent lovers of Jesus and of one another. That's what they're for. Amen. The greatest function of the gift of prophecy in a church is to impart such love and precious teachings and exhortations and ministries to us straight through from the heart of God, that we shall grow and grow and grow and build up and build up. Amen. That's what it's for. Let a man set his heart to do that, and God will crowd him. Crowd him with his richest blessings. I said crowd him, not crown him. Don't seek crown. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about crowns any more than you worry about fruit, as we were thinking this morning. Don't worry about that. Just know that God knows he's got you, my beloved brothers and sisters, and that he can edify you, and through you can edify others. Everything's to be done to this end. Everything. Amen. You're not here to expose one another, exploit one another. You're not here to do anything like that. You're here to edify one another. And there's very little edification in the world, beloved, because there's very, very much selfishness. And it's called shyness, or it's called inability, and it's called all sorts of things. I haven't got it, or I can't do it, or something of this nature. Beloved, instead of being lost there in God now, my beloved brother and sister, I tell you the fault lies at your door if you're not here. It doesn't lie anywhere else. It's got nothing to do with the devil. He was defeated at the cross. Amen. If you can't commune, there's something radically wrong. We can't commune. It's sin that stops communion. If you can't edify, there's something dreadfully amiss. Amen. It's unthinkable. If I come back here in a fortnight's time, which I think is a fortnight, something like that, 2-3 weeks, it's a marvelous thing. I'm coming so quickly, isn't it? Or a terrible thing, I don't know. But there it is. And you haven't gone on in this fortnight. Well, what do you think? You think I'm going to dance for joy and say, you're wonderful. You've got to get dirt up. Stop harping on your pet ideas. And all this. You're to get lost in God, poor little thing. We're harping along our lines. Oh, glory, I want you to see, beloved, that God has called you unto the fellowship of his Son. That's what he's called you unto. Praise him. Oh, this is a way beyond what men know generally. You go. No, you don't need somebody to operate on you. No, you don't need anything. What you need, beloved, is to get yourself rightly related with the Lord and going on with him. That's what you need. And the devil won't see you for dust. You'll go on. Dust is good enough for him. He's supposed to crawl on it. And now, after edification, where do we go? 15th chapter. You all know what this is, of course, don't you? Come on, I'll give you all a guess now. First one. What comes after edification in this great revelation? Oh, everybody's got their eyes down on the Bible now. They didn't need me to say eyes down, did they? What is it? Pun? No. It's a good one, though. Well done, Arthur. No, not particularly. No, come on, it's anotheration. Glorification, of course it is. In chapter 15, here we are. All flesh, verse 39, is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds, celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in honor. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Oh, hallelujah. Glorification, beloved. Glorification. Are you in this great glory? Praise his wonderful name. You know, beloved, in this great future, in glory, we'll all shine like the stars, beloved, in Father's kingdom. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the stars in their heavenly Father's realm, but will differ in glory. We'll differ in glory, beloved. The glory of the sun, they tell me that's a star. That's the morning star, of course, that you read about in the Bible. That's the great day star. Amen. But it differs from all the other stars in glory. Amen. Now you've got to watch this. Glorification is sure. But a lot will depend on your fellowship and your communion and your edification in this great realm. Oh, you'll go, you'll be a star, all right, if we may use the figure. You'll be there in the Heavenly Father's realm. But, beloved, think of the glory. Glorification. It's wonderful. Now, you'll always tell whether you're in this great realm. Because the glory already begins down here. The glory always begins down here. Praise God. When God gets hold of your life and baptizes it in the Spirit, he starts you on your great course of glory and magnification in glory. That's what he starts. On this earth, he gets you ready for that great future. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. Beloved, when the glory is in your soul. When the glory is there. You know, all these wonderful things are so precious. We think of peace, that's a marvelous thing. Think of joy, that's wonderful. You think of love, and you think of righteousness, and you think of purity, and you think of all these precious things, and then there's this glory. The glory. You know what glory is, don't you? You see, you think of a midsummer day, and you are glorious after living in Liverpool during the last 2 days. You see, that's a tremendous, the sun shining in its strength, the sky nearly as golden as the sun, filled with the heat and the warmth and the glory. I said to our brother back this morning, I said, it's warmer in Spain than it is here. I expect the sun's shining there somewhere. But the here's your greatness of it, beloved. The glory. You're supposed not just to have day. You can have a day and it not be a glorious day. You can have light and it not be glorious. That's right. But have the glory. Ooh, hallelujah. In your soul. You know, thy beatific face display the brightness of eternal day. Amen. When God beams on you with love most pleased, when God shines upon you with all his warmth in the true fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, when he comes down and he knows the great fellowship is in and the communion is on and it's flowing down through the body, no sin to obstruct it, nothing of mere humanity to hold it back, and God has achieved his immediate ends in this age in his church, and the blood is in full circulation through the body, running through every member, and every member is a precious, nutritious addition to the glorious whole. And everybody feeds in the love and blessing of God, in the glory of his presence. Oh, it's paradise. All the fruits of heaven are there. All the glory of God reigning in his kingdom, saying, see, no mist here, no darkness here, devil, nothing here at all, just my love brought to perfection, ministering through every part of my glorious body. That's right. That's it. That's what you call the church, is it? If not, you've never known one. Oh, God help us. We've been robbed by the artifice of man. We've been robbed of our glorious heritage. Nobody tells us the truth. Nobody moves us on into it all. Deep inward longings. Somehow we feel it ought to be. And then someone comes and voices it and say, yes, that's right, that's it. Hallelujah. This is the heritage of the righteous. This is it. This is the thing I dreamed for, longed for, wanted, always sort of felt. It's something like this. Yes, this is it. Of course it is. We know it is. Every fiber of our being shouts out that this is it. And how can you put up with anything less? How can you accept anything other than this? When you come together, because Saturday night somebody didn't please you, Sunday morning you stayed in bed too long anyway, and you never got up, and you scrambled from the sheets, and you got down the church, and you panted, and you used your little tongue, and you thought everything was all right, and you huffed and puffed, and did you impart any blessing to the cup? Did you? Oh no, you came to get life for your poor, expiring, panting soul. Did you? Every member making the great contribution. Every member reigning there in the life that God wants us to live in. Praise his wonderful name. You're supposed to be there. You are, aren't you? Well, see that you are. If you're not there, come right in. This is what it is. This is the grace of God. I'm telling you, when we started, of course it'll forgive your sins. Of course it'll wash you. Don't you see? God's longing to do that. God's
God. He's beside himself to do this. He got so beside himself that he stayed up in heaven and came down on earth at the same time to do it. That's right. And now the blessed Son's gone back and the Holy Ghost is here to form this perfect and precious body on the earth. How many gifts of the Spirit are functioning through you? How many precious gifts of the body of Christ are functioning through you? How many times has somebody just been able to eat you right up in perfect love? How many times? These are thy excellencies, O man, and these are thy glories. These are the things that God is looking for. Amen. Now you judge what I say. If you're not there, by the glory of God and by his grace and patience and perfect love and by the presence of the Holy Ghost, you can come in now. And you can start properly. You can get your eyes off yourself altogether. And part of the artfulness of the devil, it's the easiest way in giving you a pain somewhere in your back or on the top of your neck or something, is to get your eye on yourself. It's the easiest way. Just give them a pain, disrupt the function, just like that. It's amazing how little things people will accept from God. The devil hasn't got a hard task at all. Something that's gone wrong at home. Something that hasn't pleased you. Somebody hasn't lived up to your estimation of them. Or somebody this. What's that got to do with it? It just shows you what a kind of a person you are. Did you realize that? You think you're summing up what kind of a person they are, but it shows what kind of a person you are. Oh, the bliss of belonging to God. Only, fully. Now, this is what he's wanting. And I suggest, beloved, that you lift up your hearts now and hearken to this word of God. He has called you into being a fellow with Jesus Christ. Mind your own business and see that you are. It's not your business to see that everybody else is. And set a standard for them. Kindly believe that you don't know all the circumstances. And then you'll refrain from being that kind of a judge. Be this kind of a judge. If I have spoken to you the word of God, you're to act on it. And you're to become that word. Incarnate it into your life. And live it out. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, I've got further to go home than anybody else in this meeting tonight. Only about 250 or 60 miles. So you will see that none of you have any excuse at all. And I've got to get up and go to work in the morning too. Different kind of work from yours, but still I have. Let's have a time in the presence of God. Oh, here tonight. If you've never had these real dealings with God along these lines, now here's your opportunity. Some of you perhaps have never really been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are far from this ministry of gifts, perhaps. And some of you are far from imparting yourself and a blessing to the cup and that wonderful fullness that God wants. I don't know. And has the glory begun in your soul? Glory is that which floods out, clinging to believing only. It's that flooding fullness. It's that glorious certainty beyond all words. It's being caught up in the very aura of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. You seek God. You talk to God. Open your mouth. You needn't attempt to pray particularly. Just talk to God. Tell him truth. Don't pray for anybody else. Pray for yourself. Move into God. Amen.